From the mighty to the small, the glory in them all is God's and God's alone. God and God alone reveals the truth of all we call unknown. And all the best and worst of man won't change the Master's plan. It's God's and God's alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise for God and God alone. God and God alone will be the joy of our eternal home. He will be our one desire, our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives serve its truest praise for God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise.
Song tonight honoring our God. Wonderful. 1 Samuel 5. 1 Samuel 5 announced this morning. I'll be preaching from the first five verses of this text. 1 Samuel 5. Find it there in your scripture. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, you find the large book of Psalms in the middle. Turn to your left several chapters and books and you'll come to 1 Samuel. Chapter 5. Give you just a moment to find that. We'll stand in honor of God's Word and read the first five verses together this evening. All right, let's do that. Let's stand in honor of God's Word, please. Follow along with me. And I'm reading now verse 1. And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Sad thing when you got to tote your God around, amen? And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod unto this day. And I want to speak to you on the power that conquers Dagon. The power that conquers Dagon. Father, we love you tonight and rejoice in the good songs that have really kind of been fashioned to worship your majesty. Crown him with many crowns, sitting upon that throne. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. And here we read in the passage where a false god fell on his face on the floor before you. And so, Lord, we recognize tonight your greatness, your power. But, Lord, more than anything, we need it, please, implemented in our lives. Give us the power that we should enjoy because we're your children. Help us to enjoy it. May Dagon's crumble at your power. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. And be seated. It's been brought to our attention many times from this pulpit that God didn't just deliver us from the penalty of sin when He saved us. Of course, that penalty being the lake of fire, eternal separation from God forever. But He also delivered us from the power of sin. He delivered us from living a life of defeat to the power of sin. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10 that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now listen, according to the power that worketh in us. Now when God saved us, He placed within us the power to live a victorious life. There is a difference in physical strength and inner power. You know what's sad to see, folks? What's sad to see is someone who possesses incredible physical strength brought to their knees by the power of some sin. And true strength is not what's bound up in your muscles. God says He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. All right? Meaning in physical strength, although it's not opposed to it. But the emphasis of our country is on how big, your guns and all that stuff. And I'm not talking about pow-pow. I'm talking about these right here. Okay? It's all about who can bench what. And, it's, you know, the NFL players go down there and show off their physical strength. But many of them don't have enough power to conquer a marijuana cigarette. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Now, none of us should be guilty of underestimating the power that worketh in us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, okay? In this passage, we see an example of how powerful the God of heaven is. Now, let me give you the setting. The children of Israel have just now come under the leadership of the young man Samuel. Eli was a weak and tolerant priest. He didn't take care of things. In fact, his own sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were vile men. And God took both their lives in death during a battle with the Philistines. You remember that story. In that same battle, the Ark of the Covenant was taken captive by the Philistines. And you remember that Eli was sitting on a seat on the side of the road, and he fell backward off that seat when he heard the news that the Ark of God was taken. He heard the news that his boys were dead. But when he heard the news that the Ark of God was taken, he fell backward off the seat, broke his neck, and died. And then you remember that the wife of Phinehas was in labor while all of this was going on. And when she heard the news of her husband's death, and she heard the news of her father-in-law's death, and then she heard that the Ark of God was taken captive, she delivered her child, named him Ichabod, and died. Ichabod means the glory is departed. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was that piece of furniture that sat in the Holy of Holies within the tabernacle. It was a special piece of furniture. It represented the presence of God. The Israelites would carry that ark into battle. The presence of God going before them into war, so to speak. And the Philistines, they knew about the ark, and they respected it. And they recognized that there was something special about it. And when they defeated the Hebrew army in this battle, that's detailed for us here in chapter 5, they took the Ark of the Covenant captive. Look at verse number 1 again. The Bible says the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. Now, Ashdod was one of the major cities of the Philistines. They had, I think, 5 of them. And Ashdod was one of them. Ashdod was also the place where the temple of Dagon was located. Now, who's Dagon? Dagon was one of their gods, one of the gods that the Philistines worshipped. He was a false god. He was known as the fish god. A couple of reasons for that. First of all, you know that fish were prized because they were in abundance in the waters of that area. Okay? So a lot of fish there. And so they were prized things. But they were also prized because of their ability to reproduce in great numbers. Fish can multiply quickly, and they multiply in great numbers. And if you've ever had an aquarium at your house, you know that's true. Fish just have fish, they just have babies, and have babies. And truth of the matter is, Dagon was one of those gods where fertility was worshipped. And it was a false god, a god created by the hands of men. And people, listen, when man creates a god, he never creates a god that condemns his sin. He always creates a god that condones his sin. And so they had these temples. This is not the only one. They had the temples in these false gods. And the things that went on in the name of worship were vile, filthy, wicked, ungodly. Because that's how man is. Man's going to create a god that condones his sin. Now, they worshiped this idol Dagon. He had a head like a man. He had a face like a man. He had arms and hands like a man. His body was like a fish with a tail, almost like a male mermaid. Okay? It's kind of what it was looking like. So it had a face like a man, and a head like a man, hands like a man, and a tail like a mermaid. Now, look at verse number 2. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Now, they brought the Ark of the Covenant in, and they set it in a place of submission to Dagon. They put the Ark of the Covenant that represented the presence and the power of the God of heaven in a position of submission to a false god. Now, look at verse number 3. When they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth. You know what that means, folks? Dagon was in a position of worship to the presence of God. The ark was not an idol. The ark was not to be worshipped. The ark was symbolic of the presence and power of the one that was to be worshipped. And here's Dagon falling on his face. Now, they come in, they find him on his face, and they set him in his place. You'll read in the book of Jeremiah, I believe it is, maybe Isaiah, how they would take their gods and fasten them. I would imagine they fastened them to walls. They fastened them on tables and put them in exalted positions. So they came in. Oh my, what's happened here? And it never dawned on them that this idol was in submission to the ark of the presence of God. And so they put him in his place again. Verse 4, they came in the next morning, and he was fallen upon his face again. But this time, his head was cut off. Dagon's wisdom was defeated. The palms of his hands were cut off. Dagon's power was defeated. The only thing left of Dagon was the stump. That's all. And I love it because here you got the Ark of God taken into the temple of Dagon as a captive, but it becomes a conqueror. It's the power of God's presence. The power of God's presence immediately became the dominant power in that temple. Don't miss that statement. The power of God's presence immediately became the dominant power in that temple. Dagon's power was subjected. Dagon's power was obliterated before the presence of the power of God Almighty. Now, when I read that, man, I just thought, boy, there are some rich lessons here that can be learned for the child of God who desires to have that same power working in their life. Friend, you and I should enjoy the victory that is ours in the power of God, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means, folks? I'm going to tell you what it means. It means that you and I should be able to conquer the power of sin that is in our lives. There's absolutely no reason for God's people to live under the power of sin, to live under the oppressive thumb of sin. I know we're going to have our battles with the law of sin and death that's in our flesh. That's not going away until we see Jesus. That's not going to go away. It's just a constant battle. I understand that. We won't be delivered from that law of sin and death completely until we see Jesus, and we'll be completely delivered from that. But I want to say something, and I've said it so many times. To live continually under the thumb, under the power, under the oppression of some sin is not necessary. It's just not. God has the power to subdue that sin in our lives so that it doesn't reign and rule. God has the power to conquer sin's power. And we don't need to keep making excuses. Now, we're going to fight the law of sin and death until we see Jesus. But heaven help us, folks, if we just throw up our hands and surrender to the power of sin. I'm going to tell you something. When the presence of God moved in the temple of this body right here, His power came with it. And with that power comes the power to live victoriously over sin. We don't have to smell like some little cigarette smoke. We don't have to be servant to some little piece of paper that's rolled up with tobacco in it. We don't have to be subjected to the power of that cigarette. We don't have to have a little nip to calm our nerves. We don't have to be directed to lie habitually and just lie and lie and lie and chalk it up as, well, that's just my flesh. We don't have to be controlled by the urge to steal. Pornography does not have to control our minds. Bitterness does not have to smother our hearts. Jealousy falls at the feet of the power of the presence of God. Gossip can be hushed. Dagon's still fall to the power of God's presence. Their wisdom and their power is crushed to powder under the power of the Almighty God. Now, there's something about this ark I want to bring to your attention tonight. Because what was it about the ark that gave it such power? Such power that it was taken captive and put in the temple of a false god, and yet as it was brought in there and left there, it immediately became the conqueror. And the false god became subjected to that power. What about this ark? Well, first of all, let me say, and I'm going to have time tonight. The voice is not going to last through as much as I'd like to go, so just listen carefully. First of all, something special about that ark was the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. On the ark was the mercy seat. Amen. It was the top of the piece on that furniture, that mercy seat. And once a year, every year, the blood of the perfect Lamb was applied by the high priest. Friend, can you see it? That mercy seat was stained by the blood of how many lambs that had been shed over the years. Somebody might know better than me, and I mean that sincerely. I was trying to recall any place in the Scripture where I ever read that the mercy seat was washed. I'm not sure it was ever washed. I'm not sure it was ever cleaned off. You know what that means? That means that year after year, after year, after year, after year, after year, after year, after year after year, the blood of that perfect Lamb was applied to that mercy seat. And I want to tell you something, friend. There is power in the blood of the perfect Lamb of God, whose blood was shed for our sins. And on the day of our salvation, the blood of the Lamb of God was applied to our sin-sick souls. And the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to conquer sin in my life and in your life. And to live in submission and subjection to sin is to do a disservice to the power of the spotless Lamb of God. You know, we sang the song this morning, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy riven side which flowed. Now don't miss these words. Be of sin the double cure. Double cure. Save us from its wrath, sin's wrath and power. Do you understand what the songwriter was saying? The power of the blood of Jesus not only saves us from the penalty of sin, which is God's wrath. The power of the blood of Jesus saves us from the power of sin. Saving us from the penalty of sin is justification. Saving us from the power of sin is sanctification. And for God's people to live in sin, I will say again that we will fight the law of sin and death in our flesh until we see Jesus. But people, there's no reason that any of God's children have to live under the power of some sin and be oppressed by it and ruled by it, because there is power in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, not only to forgive us, but thank the Lord, clean us up. It needs to be applied to our lives. Do you need help overcoming a Dagon? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's power in the blood. The blood of Jesus just wasn't a one-time, done, over, finished thing. The blood of Jesus is applicable every day that we live to help us live clean and holy before God, and not under the thumb of some little piece of paper rolled up with tobacco in it. Help us. And alcohol. And then other things that we don't think are quite so bad. I meant to mention this morning. I might have got sidetracked. But I'll tell you what, folks, that's not the major problem in most Christians' lives today. It's not the alcohol and the cigarettes and the marijuana. And boy, I'm telling you what, are we heading down a bad road in this country? Oh my goodness, we're heading down a bad road. And I was thinking about it the other day. You know, a person that was born in 1950, was a teenager, was 15 years old in 1965. In 1968, they were 18. Now they're 68 years old. You know who's making the laws? Today, the people that were smoking marijuana 50 years ago. Now they're legalizing it. And not just for medicinal purposes, but recreational purposes. You think that's going to do us good, folks? Well, I'll tell you what, read the last verse of Revelation chapter 9. There's coming a day when sorceries, pharmaceutical, drugs, witchcraft is going to overwhelm the world under the power of the Antichrist. We see the seeds of that already. And I'm getting ahead of myself here, getting beside. But that's not the main thing. I'm telling you a sin. I don't know if I got sidetracked this morning and didn't mention it, but if I did, it won't hurt to mention it twice. I want to tell you something that's a shame. It's bitterness. That's a shame. That's a shame. It's a shame to live in bitterness. And just chalk it up as, you know, well, that's, you know. No, it's not. There's as much power in the blood of Jesus. You say, well, you know, you don't know what somebody did to me. I'm going to tell you something. Do you understand what you did to Jesus Christ? Do you understand what your sin did to Jesus Christ? Your sin put Him on the cross. Your sin drove the nails. And I'm talking about my sin too. But for us to sit and say, what they did to me, I cannot forgive them for, is ridiculous, folks, when what we did to Jesus Christ, He forgave us. There's power in the blood of Jesus to get over bitterness. And bitterness, I'll tell you what, bitterness just sits people down. Just sits them down. and festers and boils. And it's a shame. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Do you have a Dagon in your life that needs to fall in submission to the power of God? Do you? Claim the power that's in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Claim the power in the blood. Boy, Satan flees. He can't stand up to the name of Jesus, and he can't stand up to the blood of Jesus. He has to go. So there is the blood of the Lamb associated with this Ark of the Covenant. But now, wait a minute, that wasn't all. You know where I'm going with this if you know the Scripture, if you've read it. Second of all, what's so special about this Ark? The written Word of God. What's in that Ark? The tablets of stone. What's written on those tablets of stone? The Word of God. Now, it probably was the Ten Commandments or a portion of the law. I'm not sure exactly what was written on there. Studied a little bit more, maybe I could find out exactly. But inside the ark was the tablet of stone on which the Word of God was written. The Word of God has power over sin. Has power over sin. You remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan to sin those three times in the wilderness? And Satan said, do this, do this, do this. And each time Jesus responded to that temptation with the term, what? It is written. It is written. It is written. He responded to the temptations of Satan by quoting the written Word of God. Folks, that wasn't just a happen chance. That wasn't just a, oh, that's a nice story. That was recorded for our example. The Bible says in Psalms 119, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Satan could not stand up to the power of God's Word. Satan cannot stand strong in the presence of the power of God's Word. Are you being conquered by a Dagon? Is a certain sin multiplying in your life? Is it running out of control? Just be honest. Quit chalking it up to the flesh. And understand that God has given you the power to live victoriously over that sin. And part of the power is found in the written Word of God. A lot of times, folks, the only way you're going to... Some of you think, well, you know, I've tried that. But you've never really tried this. The secret thing is not so much just, you know, I'm for reading it. You know that. I've preached that endless times here, hearing it preached. But there is great power in committing the Word. Thy word have I. Memorization. Memorization. There are people sitting in this room who have seen Dagon's fall because they memorized this book. Intense memorization programs. Week after week after week. I started one tonight with a young man who wants to see a Dagon fall in his life. Memorizing three or four verses. And the next week and next Sunday night, we'll say those verses and or write them out in the presence of one of the staff men. And then new verses will be given. And right now, they're topical verses dealing with the Dagon that needs to fall in his life. And here's my prediction. My prediction is this. If he will give himself to it and he'll dedicate himself to it and he'll hide the Word of God in his heart, that Dagon will come down. Because sin can't stand in the presence of God's Word. You just can't. You want victory over bitterness? Get some Scriptures. Start hiding them in your heart. You want some victory over lust? Memorize the Scripture. Hide it in your heart. What Dagon needs to fall? The power of God's Word. God's Word has the power to subdue the Dagons in our lives. So, first of all, there's something special about this ark. It is the blood of the sacrificial lamb. Number two, it's the written Word of God. What else is special about this ark? It's the resurrected power of Christ. The resurrected. You say, where's that? Well, what's in that ark? Those tablets of stone written on there. What else is in that ark? Aaron's rod. You remember the story. Number 17. There had been a lot of anxiety. Korah and Dathan and Abiram had come against Moses' authority and Aaron's authority. And who put Aaron in as high priest? God did. And so here they came against him. And of course, God had to deal with that. And there was a plague. You remember that? And then God said, okay, Moses, we're going to prove to these people who's going to be the high priest. And they took a dead stick. A dead stick. And they took 12 of them, one stick representing all 12 tribes of Israel. And on the stick that represented the tribe of Levi, they wrote Aaron's name. So there would be no mistaking. They wrote his name. And the Bible says that Moses took those 12 sticks, those branches, those rods, if you will, and laid them up before the tabernacle of the Lord overnight. And when the morning came, Moses went in and he got those rods. 11 of those rods were dead. Brittle. Dry. One of those rods was alive. It had buds. But that's not all it had. It had blossoms. You can see the buds starting on the trees right now. The blossoms haven't come yet. It had buds. It had blossoms. And bless the Lord, it had fruit. It had almonds. All three stages of fruitfulness. That rod that was dead was now alive. And it was proof to those people that Aaron was God's chosen high priest. But it's also a beautiful picture of the fact that the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ was placed in the tomb. And 3 days and 3 nights later, He rose in power. Walked out victorious. And spent the rest of those 40 days on earth and then ascended to heaven. He's coming back. The power of the resurrected Christ is not just something for us to talk about, friend. It's available for us to experience. Available for us to experience. Are you saved? You have new life in Christ. And the new life you have in Christ is a powerful life. The power of the resurrected Christ is within us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Does a Dagon need to fall in your life? Does a Dagon need to come down and fall on its face? So to speak, worshiping the power and presence of God Almighty. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to conquer sin in your own strength. You're not going to overcome the gossip. You're not going to overcome the criticism. You're not going to overcome the lust. You're not going to overcome the lying. You're not going to overcome the alcohol. You're not going to overcome whatever it is in the power of your own strength, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. You're going to overcome that through the power of the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in you, friend. Remember that? You've got the power of the blood of the Lamb. In the ark, you've got the power of the written word of God, and you've got the power of the resurrected Christ. And they brought that ark in, and that God fell, that Dagon fell on his face in worship of that power, subjected to that power. And then there's a fourth thing. I like this. There's the daily provision of God's supply. You know the last thing that's in that ark, don't you? The pot of what? Manna. What was manna? It was God's provision for the people, wasn't it? How often did God provide? Once a day. Daily. They went out and they gathered manna. And that manna had an expiration date. And there was no food bank to get rid of the expired stuff. That manna expired after 24 hours. It was no good. So what was gathered Tuesday morning was bad Wednesday morning. They had to go out and get a fresh load. And then Wednesday morning they got enough to last 24 hours and they went out on Thursday morning and got a fresh load. And then they went out on Friday morning and they got enough to last for what? 2 days. For the Sabbath. And that lasted for 2 days. Then they went out on Sunday and they got another load for Sunday. And it was daily, 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 the people gathered what they needed for one day at a time, one day at a time. You know how you conquer sin in your life, people? Oh, I know you go to the altar and you just say, God, take this away from me in Jesus' name. It's over. You never conquer sin that way. You conquer sin one day at a time. You conquer sin one day, and that's what happens. God's people get all pumped up and excited and, you know, built up some kind of fervor and intensity to see some Dagon fall in their life, and they visit an altar. And I'm not being, I'm not minimizing that. That's good. That's helpful. But folks, it's not just 30 seconds at the altar and I'm done. It's day after day after day after day. It is conquering sin one day at a time. The Dagon falls today. The Dagon needs to fall tomorrow. The Dagon needs to fall Tuesday. The Dagon needs to fall Wednesday. And that's how sin is conquered in our lives. One day at a time. One day at a time. Through the power of the blood of Jesus. Through the power of the written Word of God. Through the power of the resurrected Christ. Isn't it a shame for God's people to live under the oppression of sin? Isn't it? We ought to hang our heads. Well, I just can't help myself. Exactly right. But God can. I just can't. No, you got it. You can't. But there is power in the shed blood of Jesus. Not just to forgive your sins once, friend, but to give you victory over sin every day. There is power in the written Word of God. There is power in the resurrected life of Christ. Christ in us. God, give us that power. Day after day after day after day after day. The power that conquers Dagon. Subdues Dagon. I said it before, I'll say it again because I don't want anybody to misunderstand me or misinterpret what I'm saying. We will battle the law of sin and death until we see Jesus. But Paul said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. And it doesn't have to. It does not have to be in a place of dominance over the presence and power of God. Dagon can fall. Dagon's can still fall. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Father in heaven, thank you for the energy and the strength and the voice to preach through the message tonight. And I wish I could go longer with this and say things I left out, but Lord, I pray that you'll help us, oh God. Oh God, please. Please, oh God, help us tonight. May we, each one of us, may we search our hearts. Please help us to search our hearts. Please allow the Holy Spirit to search within the spot, to take the spotlight and search within. And Lord, reveal the Dagons that need to come crumbling down. Thank you. You've already given us the means by which the Dagon can fall. You've given us the power of the blood of Christ. And you've given us the written Word. And you've given us the power of the resurrected Christ. Oh God, please on a daily basis, help sin to be conquered in our lives. And help us to live a life of pleasing to you. In holiness and sanctification. And God, we understand that you remember that we're made of dust. And you remember our frame. You know how we're made. You made us. God, you understand that we have a law of sin and death residing in our bodies and our members. But, oh God, what a shame to live in subjection to some sin. God, deliver us. May the Dagons fall. May they start to crumble tonight in the hearts of many in this room. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to take the spotlight of His knowledge and wisdom and shine through our lives tonight, folks. And is there a Dagon that needs to come down? Is there a Dagon that needs to fall? Well, it'll never get started unless we just admit it. And we apply the power of the blood of Christ and hide God's written Word in our hearts and then access the power of the resurrected Christ by yielding to the Spirit and do it on a daily basis, day by day. Pastor, I needed a message tonight. Pray with me. Pray for me as you close. Would you lift your hand tonight wherever you may be sitting? The Dagon need to fall. The Dagon need to fall. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're not sure you're saved, now's a great time to come to Christ. If you ought to visit the altar tonight, and some are already coming, you let God work in your heart. You obey the Lord. May the Dagons begin to crumble as the ladies play a song of invitation.